This is episode 77 of Bella in Your Business.
Welcome to Bella in Your Business, where Bella will discuss anything and everything about your pet sitting business to help you land on target. So get ready. Bella's got your shoot. Let's jump.
Welcome to Bella in Your Business. My name is Bella Vasta with Jump Consulting, and today I am here with my longtime friend, Kate McQuillan. How are you?
I am fantastic, Bella. It's great to see you again.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining me. For those of you who haven't figured it out yet, just by her hello, Kate is located in Ireland, and she is the, how do I even say it? I want to say like the queen of pet sitting in the entire country. And I can say that because her Facebook page boasts 35,000 people on it. And today, I mean, Kate has just really, I've known you from kind of right when you and your husband started it. And as you guys started expanding and just watching you explode and then going to franchising and then doing this Nose of Trillily, am I saying it right? Competition?
You are. Yeah.
Okay. And today I really want our listeners to take from you first a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you're at. But also the main lesson today I want is to be about consistency, because everyone is going to be in shock and awe of what you've been able to do. But I really want to drive home the main lesson today about you have been consistent for years, Kate. As long as I've known you, you may have had your ups and downs personally or professionally or whatever, but you have maintained consistent in your determination to succeed. So Kate, why don't you bring us back a little bit? Tell us about how you started your company and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, we started Pets at Asylum back in 2010. And it was actually a friend of mine in the UK was doing cat sitting for a few of her local neighbors. And there was nothing like that here in Ireland. She was actually in the UK. And it got me thinking, like, I never liked putting our pets in kennels, and this just seemed like the perfect opportunity. Obviously, it's huge in America, but it never really was here. So we had a look into it. We did a few surveys just to see if there really was a market for it in Ireland, and there definitely was. So we started kind of local, and because we were getting so many hits to the website, even with the worst website in the world, it was terrible. We were getting so many inquiries from all over Ireland, we just immediately decided to just hire and cover all of Ireland. And that was really how we just jumped into it, not knowing really anything about pet sitting or dog walking at all. I instantly fell in love with social media. If you know me, you'll know that I love social media, blogging, content marketing, whatever you want to call it. And that's really what's been the catalyst for the growth of our business. And like Bella said, I am very, very consistent most of the time, but I just consistently have plugged away at blogging, at social media, at just constantly talking to our ideal customers. And I think that's what's given us the kind of catalyst to grow month on month and year on year. It's been absolutely fantastic to go from just a tiny little idea to now a nationally franchised business is, you know, quite amazing.
It is very amazing. I am in awe of you, and I always love learning from you. We'll talk about more of this at the end, but you actually have a whole academy for pet sitters because you've been so successful. I always say, learn from the best, like follow people that you want to be like. And Kate, you're one of those people that the pet sitters and dog walkers listening right now should totally check you out, look at the academy, see if it's for them. What do you do in that academy?
Basically, I have just taken everything that we have done with our business. So all the tactics that we've used, all the examples of things that we've done, and just put it into a membership group. So you can pay to be part of the membership, and you can access not just seeing on my blog or my Facebook page what I'm doing, but actually how I did it. Yeah. So kind of like the steps. I know we're going to be talking about the competition, and in there it gives you the guide to exactly A to B as to what I did. So yeah, that's basically what it is.
That's awesome. So it's the woman behind the curtains, what you've been doing in the kitchen.
Exactly. I don't spend much time in the kitchen though.
So I'll admit it, us Americans are typically a little bit, I'm going to use the word ignorant. It might be a little harsh word, but we don't quite understand the capacity or the size of things. So while you were just talking, I actually just Googled so that our listeners who are walking dogs, driving, making food, Ireland is about the size of, according to Google, the state of Indiana. So it's essentially okay. Like Kate has taken over the entire state of Indiana and become the pets that are for that. So if that can help put a little perspective for you as to how big or small Ireland is. We all think Ireland's small, but it's actually pretty large in relation. I don't know any pet sitting company that's actually servicing an entire state. So I wanted to put that in perspective for people. So take me back. I want to talk about this Nose of Trilily. And how did you come up with the name? What was your first year like? What was your initial motivation to do it?
I had been wanting to do a competition for ages. I think what a lot of people misunderstand about competitions is it isn't about running a competition and I'm going to get 20 new dog walking clients out of it. It's more about brand awareness. And for us to actually franchise our business and become that brand that we needed to be, we needed to have more brand awareness. And, you know, we can't afford huge TV ads and massive radio campaigns all over Ireland, nor would I want to spend that kind of money. And a competition seemed quite a cheap and easy way to kind of get that brand out. But rather than do something like cutest dog or waggiest tail or something like that, we wanted something that the press particularly were going to get behind, because press aren't going to report on us doing a dog competition. It's not really that newsworthy. But if you can have a good hook behind it, something that's fun or quirky, definitely local press will cover it for you. So there is a competition that runs every year in Ireland. You can Google it. It's called the Rose of Tralee. And it's not really a beauty pageant. It's kind of developed from that. It used to be, but it's competing with all of the 32 counties in Ireland, and girls enter, they are judged on, it's essentially, it's not meant to be on looks, but it's meant to be on kind of like, you know, your hobbies, your interests, you know, your speaking ability, all these types of things. And it's very, very famous. It's been around for years. It's on every single year. It's on TV. It's absolutely huge. And love it or hate it, it is a massive part of Irish culture. So we just came up with the idea to run a pet version of the competition. So instead of the Rose of Tralee, it was the Nose of Tralee. Very few competitions in Ireland are for all animals. So that was another thing. We wanted it to be completely inclusive. So any animal could enter. We've had pigs, horses, turtles. Oh, you name it, we've had it. Now, primarily the biggest audience is dogs and cats, but we have had sort of unusual animals in there too. And what's happened with it is it's become something that's very fun. You know, it makes a great headline because it's run at the same time as the Rose of Tralee. The papers go crazy to compare the current rose with the current nose. And we actually get roses taking photos with the noses. So the way the competition works is there's 32 counties in Ireland and there's 32 opportunities to be a nose and a rose. So what tends to happen is, you know, you'll get the Rose of Kildare taking a picture with the nose. So they get in the paper.
God, I am dying right now. Like, this is hilarious. I love this.
I'll have to send you the link to some of the pictures that have got in the paper because they're fantastic. So yeah, it's just been so fun. And I think because it is unusual, because it's so timely with the same time as the competition, and there's not much happening that time of year in Irish news. It is just all about the Rose of Tralee that time of year. So we've just been very fortunate that the press have been so good to us. We've been on TV, we've been in papers, on the radio, and very rarely have I actually done anything to get this press. It all has just kind of come to us. So it has been quite phenomenal.
That's incredible. I'm so entertained just listening. I mean, I've known you've been doing this for so long. We've had a lot of conversations, but each time we have a conversation, it gets even more and more and more. So take me back to like that first year. You're like, okay, I want to do it. What kind of turnout did you have? What mistakes did you make? And what did you learn really stuck, like glue?
The first year was quite small. I never anticipated the amount of press that we would get. We put a few Facebook ads to get people to enter. It was all kind of quite casual. It's been the same format. The format has never changed year after year.
Yeah.
And we got about, I think, 400 or so entries, 400 or 500, something like that. So, you know, it was a decent kind of turnout.
That's amazing.
We didn't have any sponsors. We gave the prizes ourselves. So we had a pet photographer on board from the beginning. Then we just gave prizes, you know, hampers of goodies and stuff. So it was pretty low key. We probably got in about 10 or 12 papers that year, which I was absolutely amazed about. The Sunday papers covered us, which is huge here in Ireland if you get in the Sunday papers. And we had great press. I suppose the one thing that I learned in the first year is how seriously people take it and how you really need to have good rules in place and you need to have a really, really tough skin. I was absolutely amazed at how upset people get. I mean, you probably remember me going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this to me. People got so invested in it, you know, and over the years, I suppose you do become a little bit more tough to comments people make and become a little bit stricter about the guidelines and the rules. So as the competition has grown, we've had to become more rigid about what people can and can't do, you know, specifying, you know, you can't get somebody to sponsor you personally and put their logo on posters, and people had T-shirts made and all sorts. It got, you know, a little bit crazy. But the first year was a big learning in terms of rules. That was a big thing for me, just making sure that people were very clear on what they could and couldn't do, how you became a winner, and then if you didn't win, that's okay too, you know.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. You mentioned you didn't have sponsors the first time, but you did have a pet photographer. I want to like kind of talk a little bit about the ripple effect that this has had. So obviously you're getting all this publicity and press. I imagine that pet photographer got a lot of exposure or clients from it too. Did he?
Yeah.
And then as you grew your sponsors, I imagine they get a lot of publicity.
Over the years, I suppose the sponsorship element of it has grown. We've never gone for a main headline sponsor because we've always wanted it to be the Pet Sitters Island Nose of Tralee. I think if you get a sponsor that's too big, it can kind of overshadow you a little bit. Sure. So we've always been very clear that it's Pet Sitters Island Nose of Tralee competition. But the sponsors get huge mentions, like they get mentions in the paper, they can send gifts out to the 32 finalists, you know, they get a lot of free press because, you know, you're talking about their ideal customers. We partner with brands that match kind of our prices and our type of customers. So this year we had Pod Tracker, who are a GPS pet tracking company. We had a treat subscription service similar to what you have with BarkBox over there, isn't it? Similar to that, the Irish version. We also had Nest Cam, who do in-home cameras, so they sponsored as well. And then we had obviously the pet photographer, and then we had an all-natural food company that gave food as well to the, all the finalists, and hampers to the winners. So these are all kind of premium brands, and they do get a lot of exposure along with us because people are mentioning, oh, this is the competition and this is what the winner gets.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic set of prizes. It really is.
That is amazing. It's just amazing. What I like is that you really paid attention to your why of figuring out why you wanted to do this. It was to bring the community together, get your brand out there, not I want clients, you know? And you also weren't tacky about how you were branding it and how you put your name or photo around everything, you know? It was classy, if I can say that, you know?
I think you have to be, though. I think you need to elevate yourself above what everybody else is doing by making it all about the pets, all about a celebration of, you know, how the Irish love their pets, rather than, you know, making it all about us. Obviously, we want our stuff on everything because, you know, it is a branding exercise. But by empowering the kind of finalists, the contestants to promote their entries, you're getting them to do a lot of the marketing on your behalf. So that's been the really big thing for us. It's kind of who says it better than somebody else for talking about your business than people who think you're a great brand.
So let me follow this funnel that you have, or actually we should probably take a quick commercial break. And then I want to follow this funnel because I have something in my head. And I want to ask you about it. So we'll be right back after these words.
Are you concerned that accepting credit cards for your pet sitting business is too complicated or too expensive? Well, if you answered yes, I have good news. It's probably because you've not heard of Leaders Merchant Services. Trust me, Leaders Merchant Services makes accepting credit cards super easy and affordable for my business. They work with all kinds of businesses throughout the United States, and they have developed a special rate plan just for pet sitters like us. I know Leaders Merchant Services can help your business. I've even got a dedicated representative to speak to, and he's always happy to share valuable information. Working with Leaders Merchant Services is like having a friend or family member in the credit card processing business. If you want to know more or see how much they can save your business a month, go to jumpconsulting.net/credit card. That's jumpconsulting.net/credit card, so I can personally connect you with my specialist.
And we're back. Kate, I want to understand this funnel, because the way I'm thinking you got to this 35,000 people on your Facebook page, which gosh, is probably like almost your whole entire country, is by hosting this on your Facebook page. These people are part of your Facebook page. Therefore, they know that brand. Therefore, everyone's on Facebook, what, 10 times a day? And your engagement is through the roof. So people are constantly seeing you and looking at you as the Mac Daddy expert of Ireland for pet care, right? Like, can you translate to our audience and make them understand the, I would imagine, enormous impact it had on the growth of your business and possibly even the franchise models that you launched a year or two ago?
A year ago, yeah. It's been huge. Like, when I announced the winner this year on Facebook Live, we had 9,500 people watch that Facebook Live just to see who had won.
My jaw is dropped for those of you who can't see me.
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. I think that shocked me, that the amount of people that were interested in it. Yeah. And that was people coming on live on the night, because we kind of did a big build up to it's going to be, you know, announced live. So that's been fantastic. The growth of the Facebook page has been huge. And you can see every time we get in the papers, we do get inquiries from those areas, because a lot of these would be local papers in kind of small towns. You see then, as soon as we hit the papers, you get the inquiries. So we are getting inquiries out of it. I suppose what I want people to understand is this is kind of 4 years on.
Yeah.
You know, you don't start a competition and think, wow, you know, you're going to have all these people talking about me and thousands of inquiries. Right. We didn't get that much out of the first year other than the kind of brand recognition. As the years have gone on, we've grown, and I would imagine next year is going to be even bigger because it's our fifth anniversary. So that's going to be kind of a special.
Well, there you go. You just branded it as a special and gave people a reason to think that it's special. It's a fifth year anniversary. It's all in that branding.
So I think it's important that people, like we were talking about at the beginning, realize that there's a lot of consistency. You know, there's been years where people have been so mean because their pet doesn't win. And then you're thinking, God, do I really want to do this again? But, you know, you have to just stick with it. You get better. You get a tougher skin. You get more slick at doing it. You come up with new ways of promoting it. So I think that's like a journey that you're going on. And in terms of the brand that we've created now, we're in papers like The Times. The Times is a huge newspaper. They did a massive page feature on us this year. And they actually contacted us to do the interview. Like, that's huge. You'd spend thousands trying. Well, they probably wouldn't even get in The Times. You'd spend thousands and thousands. Like, that's a huge, credible paper. And those kind of things, you know, when you're sitting down with a franchisee and you're saying, you know, we partner with these types of brands, we've been in these papers, you know, we have people like Dyson sending us free vacuum cleaners to actually review on our website. That gives you a huge amount of credibility. That says to somebody that's investing their money, you're not just somebody who walks people's dogs. Yeah. You know, you are a brand.
You're a brand.
And definitely the nose of Trulli has helped us with that, because it has helped us stand out from other companies.
That's just amazing. I'm thinking of this from our listeners' perspective, and they're saying, okay, I'm not in Ireland. I'm in small town USA. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, you're not going to obviously be full page paper in The Times like Kate on your first year. But, you know, maybe you could take a page from Kate's book and pair it with something like a Founders Day. A lot of small towns, they have Founders Day and they have fairs every year. I used to dance at Founders Day because I was in the local dance troupe and everyone came out, and it was just a fun little fair, you know, like, think about what's going on in your area to do this. But I want to also transition in the short amount of time that we have left, because I mean, you and I could talk for so long. That's why at one point we did have our own talk show, because you are like the maven when it comes to blogging. And you mentioned, you know, Dyson asking, can you do a review? And of course, it's not just because of the nose of Trulli, but also because I'm sure they understand the page rank and the traffic and the audience that you have on your blog and your social media. But if you didn't have anywhere to take them on that social media and send them to, then you'd be dead in the water. Like, what good is a Facebook page without a blog and a blog without a Facebook page? Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think blogging has been huge for us. Like, it's just been kind of life-changing, I suppose. Yeah. From the moment that we started, it's been the biggest source of traffic to our website. I think it's kind of set us aside from everybody else. There aren't many people in Ireland, especially in the pet industry, that are actually blogging or blogging very well. A lot of it's very self-serving as opposed to actually trying to help their audience. Yes. And I think when people look at what you're doing and see you coming up in search, they see that people are sharing your blogs, they see that people are engaging with them and commenting them on your social media, it does give you credibility. There is credibility in numbers. We're talking to the Road Safety Authority at the moment about partnering with them on a dog safety campaign. When you actually sit down and put your kind of, we have a sheet that we send out that has all our social stats on it, our traffic, our ideal customer avatar, all that type of stuff. When you create it, you're kind of like, wow, that does look impressive. And when you send it out to people, you know, that's saying to them, you know, you have an audience. You know, these are guys who we want to work with because they have a strong brand. Whenever we Google something, they're always coming up. We've seen them in the press. They've been on the radio. Yeah. They've been on TV. We have a podcast. We have a YouTube channel. You know, you're kind of turning up in all these different places. And I think that's what a lot of it is about. It's showing up every day, consistently with the same message, you know, looking good. And people then want to be part of what you do. And blogging has been huge. Without all of the blogs that we've created, we wouldn't have that ability to turn up because we'd have nothing to turn up with. You're just turning up with an ad saying, you know, hire me.
Right.
And people don't really want to see that all of the time.
You had just said the like awesomest thing, and I wrote it down. You said you're not self-serving, you're helping the audience. And I think that's something that all of our listeners could take to the bank right now. Thinking about, you know, are we blogging with a purpose? You know, Kate, the one thing that shines through to me and hopefully to the listeners is that you're connected so strongly to your why. And that is a very easy thing for your brand. You and I know that your brand isn't your logo. It's how people feel about you and think about you. And they trust you. Oh, okay. This is the Dyson. Okay. Or, oh, this is a fun competition. They really, oh, you're doing something with the transportation. Okay. And then to the community of just saying, hey guys, this is our stats. You know, like you can't argue with that, but it took you making that decision back in 2010, 2012, whatever it was to start blogging. And I'm sure your first blogs were hideous.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You already mentioned that your first website was atrocious. We all start somewhere. But you guys, the date of this recording, you're 7 years into your business, probably what, five years into blogging, you know? This has been a commitment to consistency. And I know that you've had staff. I know that you've had bloggers and you've had change bloggers and, you know, like all kinds of things. And I think it's a true testament to you, Kate. You know, I'm a huge fan that I think when people can overcome challenges consistently as well, while connected to their why, it's important because you could say, I have a why. You could say, I want this brand. I want to do this. And the first challenge that comes, you get knocked down and you got to remember to get back up for your why. And that's what you've done. And I love it. So Kate, in the few minutes we have left, why don't you excite our audience with, if they really want to understand more of the woman behind the curtain and the how they can tactfully do all of this stuff, how can they connect with you and get together with you?
Yeah, you can go onto my website, which is petbusinessowners.com. You'll see all the information in there about the members site. There's a load of free content and there's loads of blogs on there. There's some specific blogs about competitions as well, which gives you kind of some tips on getting started and the kind of things that you need to think about before you actually commit to it. Because there's quite a bit of planning that goes into stuff like that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Everyone, if you liked this, go ahead and comment wherever you found it. Let Kate know that, you know, thank you for her time here with us today and to excite you and motivate you. Go ahead and even listen back to it because I'm sure there's tons of nuggets that you can really listen to again and again. Don't forget to like and subscribe on iTunes or your Android device. And remember to always keep jumping.
Thanks for jumping with Bella in Your Business. For more information, free articles, free coaching sessions, and more, go to jumpconsulting.net. And remember, Bella's got your shoot.